Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Please stay standing for the reading of the Word, verse 41, 1 Samuel 17. Are y'all sick of this yet? I hope you're not. 1 Samuel 17, verse 41, the Philistine came and approached David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked around and saw David, he derided and disparaged him because he was just a young man with a ruddy complexion and a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come at me with a shepherd's staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and I'll cut off your head. I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. How many of y'all know there was some Texan blood inside of this young boy, David? Amen. He not only said that, he said, that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save with the sword or with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us. With a Philistine rose, he was yawning. How many of y'all know the enemy may think he's not scared of you? This means that Goliath, when he rose, that means he was laying down. He was not taking him serious. How many of y'all know the enemy needs to start taking us serious here? And came forward to meet David. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it. And it struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone penetrated his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck down the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. So he ran. Everybody say ran. He ran and stood over the Philistine and grasped his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah stood with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the fatally wounded Philistines fell along the way to Shurim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. The sons of Israel returned from their pursuit of the Philistines and plundered their camp. Then David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I came to have church this morning. All right. I just want to go ahead before we get started. I think we ought to thank some truck drivers this morning. We ought to thank some electricians. We ought to thank some plumbers. We ought to thank some cowboys for giving water to the beef that we will eat later, even through the cold and all this. How many of y'all thankful even after the week that we lived in? We're thankful for power, we're thankful for electricity, we're thankful for water. It was good perspective in the Bennett home. We were without water for a little time there, and Brandy started stinking. I went to work. I got them pipes turned on. Just kidding, honey. You always smell better than me. Always. Praise God. Well, I can't wait to share the word of the Lord with you this today, and I just want to give you, this is a side note. In verse 54 there, before I preach my message, I told you we'd finally get to the part where he slung the stone and killed the giant. But as I said last week, there's so much. He doesn't kill the giant. He doesn't kill the giant till verse 48. 48 scriptures is set up before he kills it. I'm telling you, life is more lived before it's ever at the battle. Before any Goliath that you slay, it's in your day-to-day. It's in your day-to-day. It's in your every moment of life. There's some things that we've learned from David of how he was a warrior way before he stepped out on the battlefield to slay the giant. But just a little quick note here. In verse 54, it says, "Then David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem." You know what's interesting about this? I'll read lots of commentaries before I preach. And the place where he took it in Jerusalem, commentary tells us this, history tells us this, was he took it to Golgotha. And during that time, we know this, that anytime a giant was slain, and what I love about this text, and actually story tells it, says then he went to Jerusalem. It was several days after he killed, actually it was several weeks, several months after he killed the giant that he brings the head to Jerusalem. What I love about that is we ought to have some souvenirs of look what the Lord has done. Come on, I love it that he has this head that he's taken everywhere. Hey, let me pack up my stuff and oh, this over here, the head of the giant, I'm going to take it with me. But the place at Calvary where Jesus died on the cross, well, let me just back up. One thing that they would have done is they would have put a stick in the ground and they would have put that giant's head on top of that stick. And the place in Jerusalem of where he took it was Golgotha. The whole reason that they call it Golgotha is because they got it from the word Goliath. Actually, it was the hill of Calvary, which is the Greek word Calvaria, which is the place of the skull, which is also the place of Golgotha. And as I read that, something fired up in me. That it was at that place at Calvary where a stick where a giant was on it was a place of victory. It was also a place of victory where there was a man who was on a stick and his name was Jesus. How many of y'all know we can live in victory because of that? Come on, we can live in victory today because of the good news of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. Come on, who's thankful for the blood of Christ today? I know I am. If you were here last week, I love the text here that Saul, he goes to him and says, hey, you need to put on my armor. And there's something in business we need to see about the text, and something in parenting, something in our marriage. What I love about David is he was not dedicated to the past, but he was dedicated to the future. He was not dedicated, and lots of times in a church, come on, this may be hard for some of you. Some of you are still dedicated to the past, and we need to be dedicated to the future. Thank God for the past. Thank God for what God has done. But even if you're in your business, if you come lax, sit in the rocking chair of life, your business will not grow. You always need to be looking ahead. What I love about him, it says, you know what? That's the way you've killed giants in the past is with this armor. But I'm looking at it in a whole new light. But also, too, the word of the Lord came to me this week and told me this. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel, the prophet, God tells him, he says, why are you still crying for Saul? He said, that's who I have rejected. Now this king, Saul, is trying to clothe the young boy David. And the Lord of the Lord came to me this week and told me this. Don't let what God has rejected now clothe what God has now anointed. Y'all didn't all get that. Don't let what God has rejected now clothe what God has now anointed. Amen. Come on, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. There's a new way. There's a new thing that God wants to do inside of your life. But today in this text, I love it. He comes to him with this tailor-made word of what he's going to say to him. Am I a dog that you come at me with a shepherd's staff? We looked last week and we saw the confidence of this boy. He not only comes with stones, but he comes with a shepherd's staff. He said, if I miss, which I don't miss, but if let's say that I do, I will beat him with this staff. That's confidence in a young man. But he says, you come up with the shepherd's staff, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give you flesh of the birds of the sky and beasts of the field. How many of y'all know the enemy tries to speak to us all week long? But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. So in verse 45, there's something that you need to see being battle-born and what David does. Number one is this, he won with his mouth before he won with his sling. He won with his mouth before he won with his sling. I hope you get that and get revelation this morning. You win with your mouth before you win with your sling. You will win with your mouth before you ever win with your sling. So in verse 45, he says, then David said to the Philistine, David said, come on, you need to say something. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You need to say something. See, even back to the book of Genesis, what did it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. There's something that God's even trying to paint a picture to us. You can create worlds with your words. Parents, you can create worlds with your words. God showed us from the very beginning of time. And then he tells us in Mark 11, 23 and 24. He says, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in sea, and doubt in your heart, it shall be done. And what I love about verse 24, it goes on, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I love Joel 3:10. In fact, I put it out this week. You need to read verse 9 as well. But he says, let the weak say, I am strong. You may not feel strong, but I'm telling you, when you begin to speak it out of your mouth, you begin to get it inside of your heart. Matthew 12:37, words of Jesus. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I hope some of you get this morning. Matthew 15:11 says, not what goes out of the mouth that defiles a not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, when he showed up there, before he slung his swing, you know what I'm saying. Before he began to swing that stone, he was winning in his heart. He was talking himself into it. I'm telling you, was that giant still big? Yes, the giant was still big. But you know, he knew this. If anybody I've got to talk it into is myself. How many of y'all know there's times if anybody you need to talk it into is not your wife, but yourself. It's not your husband, but it is yourself. You can talk yourself into something. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. He won with his mouth before he won with his sling. So we see in verse 45, he said, then David said to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. The number one thing you need to see this, is just a side note from he won with his mouth before he won with his sling, is this, the name of Jesus. Now, I may have said this last week, and I may have said this the week before, and I may have said it 3 weeks ago and 4 and 5 weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again today until you get it inside of your head. You don't need to say what CNN says. You don't need to say what Fox says. You don't even need to say what your doctor says. You need to say the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are made safe. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's so many names. In fact, the model prayer, as he says, what does he say? This is the way that you pray. Our Father who art in heaven. The reason that I always call upon the name King of Kings, Lord of Lords, when I start a prayer, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, I know who I'm talking to, but I also know this, that mountains move when the name of Jesus is spoken. Every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, dads, you need to bring the name of Jesus inside of your home. Come on, business owners, you need to bring the name of Jesus inside of your business. Come on, teachers. Woo! Don't get yourself in trouble, but you know what I'm saying. I'd be doing something. I'd be writing it, chiseling into my desk or something. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord my shepherd. The Lord Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Come on, somebody. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Mekadesh, yeah, the Lord who sanctifies you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for you. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Come on, let's give it up for the name of Jesus this morning. Come on, he won with his mouth before he won with his sling. The next thing, verse 46, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I love the boldness of this. Watch me. And I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistine this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The next thing that he did, the first thing he did was the name of Jesus. The second thing was this. He called those things that aren't as though they were. Come on, I hope you get this. He won with his mouth before he ever won with his sling. That's scriptural. That's Romans 4:17. He called those things that aren't as though they were. I hope you get this morning. You may get facts from the doctor. I loved it the other day. I talked to somebody on the phone, and she said, the facts are this, but my faith says this. Come on. The facts say this, but my faith says this. Whose report will you believe? You shall believe the report of the Lord. And thank God for doctors and thank God for nurses. Especially this year. Come on, we ought to give our nurses and our doctors and people that have worked overtime. In fact, Pastor Beth, she is headed to New York City right now to be a nurse in New York City. Isn't that awesome? This week. But you know what? The word says in Isaiah 53:1, whose report will you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. You know, you need to be very careful of the things that are coming out of your mouth. I've said this before. I'm very careful who I tell to pray for what I'm praying for, because I don't want any negative tone to be coming out of their mouth about a thing that I'm believing God for. Here's the next thing we see in verse 47. I better keep moving, otherwise I could preach that forever. And that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save with the sword or with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us. And this entire assembly. So number one, the name of Jesus. He won with his mouth before he won with his sling. The name of Jesus. Number two, he called those things that aren't as though they were. And number three, he said it loud enough so that everyone can hear. Psalm 71:15 says this, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Come on, we make mention of lots of things, and we complain, we gripe about a lot of things, but you know what we need to make mention of? Is God's righteousness in our life. Come on, our kids need to hear us make mention that God has saved me, he set me free, he's pulled me out of the miry pit, and he set me on a rock to stand. What I love about the stories of Jesus, and there's many of them that make mention of this, he says, now go home and tell everything the Lord has done for you. Go home. Listen, God has put a testimony inside of your life. Well, my testimony's not as big as so-and-so's. God is still writing your testimony. God is still writing a story in your life. God is still doing something on the inside of you. Psalms 35:28 says this, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Come on, I hope you get this in your heart this morning. He won with his mouth before he ever won with the sling. Come on, who this week you're going to be intentional? I'm going to win with my mouth before I win with the sling. I'm going to win with my mouth before I win with the sling. I was sitting over there yesterday at the wrestling tournament with my boy, and I said, son, talk yourself into it. There's a boy that he was wrestling that I'm telling you, he is a freak of nature. He's like, Dad, I have to wrestle him again. I said, son, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear, I am going to go out there and I'm going to pull his ears off. I am going to go out there like a maniac. I am going to win this today. He didn't win, but I was still trying to point a picture to him. Come on, we've got to talk ourselves into victory. Come on, this week, you talk yourselves into victory. Oh, in the name of the Lord, will help you do it. It'll help you do it. Call those things that aren't as though they were. and you need to do it loud enough everyone can hear. I said to Anson, I can't hear you. Come on. Here's the second one. I can't wait to preach this. The natural will lead to the supernatural. Verse 48, when the Philistine rose and came forward to meet David, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag, took out a stone and slung it, and it struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone penetrated his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Now, I've been preaching for 6 weeks on this particular text and showing you this, that it's way more spiritual than it is natural. There's things that, and I told you at the beginning of the year last year, I told you this, if you feed your spirit man, it'll be the best year you've ever had. Because we are a spirit. We have a soul and we live inside of a body. But in this particular text here, what I love about this, if he didn't run, I love it. And he came forward to meet David. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. See, if he didn't run after the giant would still be alive. There's things that he did in the natural. God didn't move his legs. He moved his legs. If he didn't collect the stone, the giant would still be alive. If he didn't swing the sling and practice and practice and practice, the giant would still be alive. Come on, I hope you get this morning. The natural will lead to the supernatural. Just like Peter, when he walked on water, he had to step out of the boat. He walked by faith and not by sight. But if he had never stepped out of the boat, we'd never have the scripture of him walking on water. Naaman had to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Was it supernatural that he was healed when he came up on the 7th time from leprosy? Yes. I love that scripture. But if he didn't do something in the natural of what the prophet said, hey, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, he'd still have leprosy today. Jericho, they had to march around it. They had to shout. There was specific instructions that God gave them. The walls came down supernaturally, but it was because of a step in the natural of what they did. Esther had to go meet with the king. The woman with the issue of blood had to go through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment. The men at the wedding at Cana, they had to go get the pots of water before it supernaturally was turned to wine. Noah had to build a boat. Come on, I'm trying to paint a picture to you. There's things in the natural. People think, oh, I can just come up to the altar. I can believe God. Oh, barat santai yerediki. They'll pray in tongues over me, and it'll supernaturally go away. Yes, supernaturally, God wants to do something in your life, but you've got to do something in the natural. Come on, I'm talking to warriors right now. I'm talking to some people. I want deliverance. Well, come up here and get deliverance. We'll pray for you to be delivered. But you need to do something in the natural. You need to get new friends. Come on, who am I preaching to this morning? I know I'm preaching to somebody. God, I want to be delivered from drugs. Well, you need to get new friends. I'm even talking about on Facebook and Instagram. You need to stop following the same garbage that you're still following. See, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you'll get the same results. God, I want to be, or Pastor, I want to be set free from pornography. Well, I promise you, there's a powerful thing that'll happen up here in the power of agreement. And there'll something supernaturally that'll come over, and you can be delivered. But you know what else you need to do? You need to get rid of your computer, and you need to get a flip phone. Well, Pastor, it's 2021. I said get a flip phone is what I said. I didn't stutter. Come on, we need to get some things out of our hand. There's some things in the natural. Well, God's going to take it completely out of my way. Well, David could have said, God, you're awesome. Kill the giant. Is God capable of killing the giant? Yes, he is, but God always uses man. I'm going to say it again. God always uses man. I love the story of Paul when he gives his life to the Lord. I love it. When he's walking down that road to Damascus, Jesus meets with him. And he says, Paul, why do you persecute me? He says, you need to go to a street called Straight. There you'll meet a man named Ananias, and that's when you'll give your life to the Lord. He could have accepted Christ right then, but he told him, I'm using man. God wants to use man. God wants to use you. God, who am I preaching to this morning? Come on, I know I'm ruffling some feathers. You need to elbow somebody or something. He's talking to you. I want new friends. You come up here. Come on, we'll anoint you. I'll pour the whole olive oil on top of your head. And it'll be a supernatural thing. But as long as you still stay a jerk, you ain't going to get no friends. I saw some elbowing that time. Come on. There's this thing, especially we live in Texas, it's called being cordial. Hello. It's being nice. It's looking people in the eyes. It's shaking people's hands. It's answering the phone. Hello, this is Travis. How can I help you today? Come on, looking attractive, being you know, and being careful of this. I've shod horses for many years now. When somebody calls and said, I've used so-and-so, and I've used this man, and I've used this man, and I just can't wait for you to start shoeing them today. I don't want to shoe that horse. Come on, when you get around other people and you're talking about everyone else, I promise you, your friend list is going to go down because you're going to be talking about them to somebody else. Come on, who am I preaching to? I know I'm talking to somebody. This ain't deep word, but this is deep life. Natural, it will lead to the supernatural. I want my marriage to be better. Well, stop doing what you're doing. You may do it for a time or for a season, but you need to stop doing something different. I talked to somebody. They wanted their kids back from CPS, and I went to their house, and it looked, oh, Lord, how do people live like that? And I looked at them, and I said, you want your kids back? I'm going to pray in the supernatural you'll get your kids back, but I promise you, until you clean this home up in the natural, they're never going to give it back to you. God wants to do something, but he's waiting for you to take the step. Come on. I'm praying for a rocking chair. I love the story. I'm praying for a rocking chair. And he was waiting for a rocking chair to appear before his face. God didn't bring him a rocking chair. He brought him some wood called a tree. Oh, Lord. It's quiet in here. Yee! Oh, here we go. Here we go. Natural lead to the supernatural. People come up here, Pastor, I'm in debt. Well, I believe supernaturally he wants to help you and give your way out of that. But if you keep using money the way you're using money, God is going to bring jobs along your path. It's time to stop Netflixing and chilling, and it's time to get off your derriere and put your hand to the plow and work. Because God brought a job along for you. Let's go. Come on, all you parents out there that have teenagers, you need to be clapping the loudest, right? If you still see money the same way and keep spending money that you don't have, God can't supernaturally kill any giant. It's because you keep bringing the giant back to life. You've got to start doing some things in the natural. If he wouldn't have slung the stone, it would have supernaturally, giant wouldn't have came down. If he wouldn't have naturally dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, he supernaturally couldn't have healed him. I'm just here to tell you there's some things that God has guided you, God has put inside of your spirit, and you're still sitting on your lazy rear end. It's time to get up and make a move. Make a move. Oh, man. How many of y'all getting something out of the word this morning? I hope you are. Here's the next one. I could have preached that for 25 more minutes, but some of y'all are already uncomfortable, and I just feel sorry for you. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck down the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. So he ran and stood over the Philistine, grasped his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him. Oh, man. He is like Captain Morgan. Y'all see it? Y'all picture it? David over the giant. I love it. He cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, they fled. Now get this morning. Come on. Cut off the head, turn on the faith. First thing that I see from this text is Goliath died by his own sword. In Psalms 5:10 in the Amplified, it says, "Hold them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own designs and counsels." I love the story of Esther, where Haman died by his own noose that he made. I love in Scripture where it says, "They'll dig a ditch and they'll fall in it themselves." I love that. But lots of times we hit the giant, but we don't cut off its head. John, I'm coming to a close if you want to go ahead and come up. Lots of times I hope you are ready. I believe God's speaking to somebody this morning. But lots of times we hit that giant right between the eyes, but we don't take the initial step to cut off its head. What happens when we cut off the head, and I love in this text how it affected both sides. It affected the side of the enemy, where the enemy, they fled. How many of y'all know the enemy comes in one direction, but he flees in seven, is what it says in Deuteronomy 28. He flees in seven. And I love the fact that in verse 52, the men of Israel, after he cut off the head, it wasn't when the stone hit him and the giant fell down, but after he cut off the head, the men of Israel, in verse 52, and Judah stood with a shout and pursued the Philistine. See, dads, husbands, when you cut off that head, there'll be faith that'll rise up inside of your home. That's why he said it loud enough. Hey, watch. Now watch me whip. Now watch me nay-nay. You watch right now. Watch it. Young people, you got that, but whatever. He said, watch. I love it. How many of y'all saw that? He won with his words before he won with his sling. He said, you watch today. Hey, this whole assembly is going to see what's going to happen. In this text, there's so much right here. The enemy, they fled, and there was faith that rose up inside of them. When he cut off the head, that they ran after it. Faith ran after them. And so the Spirit of God, really last night, as I began to study this and meditate on this, I came upstairs and asked Brandy, help me finish this thought. Because I see lots of times we hit the giant, but we don't cut off its head. Meaning this, they come to the altar. They do things in the natural. They do things that God supernaturally, and the giant is dead, but they failed to cut off his head. And 5 years down the road, that giant reappears back in their life. You know, for a time you do things in the natural to not go back to the addiction that you once faced. Come on, I hope you get this morning. But if you're not careful and you don't cut off the head, like you sever the tie of that, you get rid of it completely. There's never a time in my life that addiction is coming back here. Repentance, that's what it is. That's saying, hey, I was going this way, but now I'm going this way, and I'm not even looking back to where it was. Come on, I know by the Spirit of God, there's people in here that you have bitterness. And you say, you know what? I've walked in forgiveness. I've done all the things that I'm supposed to do. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet this morning. I've done all the steps. I've done everything that I know to do. And there may be something that you have hit the giant. And the giant has fallen down. But still, you can see it. Things in a Facebook post, it triggers that unforgiveness. Because you hadn't cut off the giant's head. Come on, who am I speaking to this morning? I know I'm speaking to somebody. You haven't cut off that giant's head. And I'm telling you, until you cut it off, that giant will keep coming back. You know, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your tribe, for the sake of your grandkids, they won't live in victory until you start living in victory. I see moms, I see it all the time. They have unforgiveness towards someone. And because of their unforgiveness towards someone, that person's never done anything to their kids, but they teach it to their kids to have unforgiveness towards that person. Why? Because the giant is still alive and well inside their home. He may be down. The stone may have hit him a time or two, but he keeps coming back. Oh, man. I feel the presence of God. Rejection, debt. Come on. You may have gone through some steps where you start giving, and God supernaturally gets you out of that place. But if you're not careful, that credit card that comes in the mail, it's so easy to go right back and bring that giant back to life. Are you guys getting something out of this text this morning? And I believe by the Spirit of God, I believe there's an anointing here. I believe there's an anointing. I feel the presence of God right now as I speak. There's people in here, there may be a giant in your life that you have not cut off the head. And I'm not saying you're not going to be tempted. I'm not saying that. The Bible says, blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord hath promised to those who love him. And you've done some things in the natural where you've hit the stone on the head. But I believe by the Spirit of God, there's people in here that giant keeps coming back to life. And I believe there's an anointing here to cut that off. To cut it off. I want somebody who's bold this morning to say, you know what? I haven't cut off the head. Who is it this morning? Just come forward. I want to pray for you. Just be bold. Amen. Cut off the head. Cut off the head. Cut off the head. You are my champion. My champion,
giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated.
Lord, I lift up all these that were bold to come before you. Lord, I pray that the head of that giant is cut off, loose, destroyed. Oh, Lord, I curse any kind of mindset that may have been brought up inside of a home. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for those that didn't come forward. Lord, that the giant is not slain. Lord, I just pray that this week, Lord. Show your hand. Lord, show your hand. Do what only you can do. May God, this week, Lord, you raise up a warrior inside of your people. Lord, I pray that businesses are flourishing. I speak life and life more abundantly. The head of the giant is coming off. The head of the giant is cutting off. Come on, the head of the giant is being cut off. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if you're in this room, you say, Pastor, you know what? I don't know Jesus as my Lord, personal Savior. Today's your day. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he died on the cross and on the third day he rose again. He come live on the inside of you. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. I don't care what you've done, what you've said, how you've been. The Bible says he'll forgive you of your past and he'll throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. Your grandpappy's pappy's pappy may not forgive you, but God does. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand that he forgives our sins. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's something that has separated you from the love. Maybe nothing can separate us from the love of God, but maybe there's something in your life that has separated you from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The good news is this, that you can accept him into your life and he'll make you a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, everything has become brand new. Maybe you're in this room and you've separated yourself from God, but today you want to get close to him. I want to pray a prayer with you. I want to put a Bible in your hand and tell you this, that there's a church behind you. Amen. There's a God behind you. God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? This morning, if you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. Everybody had you bow your head, close your eyes with me. Lord, I just pray right now, God, for those that need to pray this prayer, Lord, that you're doing a work in them in Jesus' name. If that's you, say, you know what, that's me. I need to come back to Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Those of you that have prayed it, please pray along with us. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You were buried. And on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. I invite you in. Make me new. Set me free. From this day forward, I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.